The following is a recording from Talk Shop on January 26th with Jen Capps, the provost of Cal Poly Humboldt. We did have some technical difficulties in the beginning of the recording, so we are coming in midway to the first segment. Here is Jen Capps.
Deep issues and just go with it. And it's like, wait a minute, that's contrary to even me as how I studied and got very knowledgeable about a specific topic. You know what I mean? So it's asking a lot from people. And so in any event.
I would think that they would, now this is projecting in, so that there would be a motivation to understand a little bit about the big picture. How do I fit into the university? How do I fit into this or, the community, whatever? But it seems like, as the careers go up, more and more entrenchment rather than a broader understanding.
Yeah, and it depends on the faculty. Some people are just interested in their discipline and their department and their classes, and that's cool.
If I'm a chemistry teacher, I'm probably not thinking too much about a whole bunch of the other things, the dynamics of the organization.
Some aren't. It just depends. Some are really interested in, lots of things. Some aren't interested at all. Some are in the middle, and it's like, I think generally people should have some understanding of the basic operations of the campus, but then sort of the sweet spot is helping to support people having trust in the institution. In our operations and what we're doing, and it takes a lot of communication and assurance, and that's my job for the most part is communicating, right?
That's why you're here. Hopefully something's happening here.
Well, this helps, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. Jen, going into any kind of a discussion or of a possibility of a labor strike or an event, I guess might be the same. If there's just a protest or information meetings or whatever it is, it's got to change the culture on the campus. How do the kids react?
Students
react.
Yeah, I think they care deeply about the faculty. They care deeply about themselves, right, and wanting to make sure that they have instruction and operations and those types of things. So I think it depends. I mean, we are a campus that draws a student body that's really interested in kind of social change and movements and stuff. That's California too, but that's definitely Humboldt.
And more of a concentration here.
Absolutely. And so I think, so they're interested and some of them want to participate or be there in sort of solidarity. And so for me, I think it's a line between providing them accurate information. I believe that's what higher education is about, is providing accurate information and letting people decide for themselves what they want to do, right? And not deciding that on their behalf. And so, and I think that's true about world issues. I think that's true about, there's a lot of complicated things that are happening in the world, and it isn't for me to say this is what you should or shouldn't do, but rather provide. And I don't know how you feel about this, but here, I'll interview you this time. But I mean, it becomes more and more difficult, in my opinion, to get accurate, unbiased information to then provide to people that are really trying to understand.
Yeah, because most of the sources are have a point of view.
Yes.
It's not sterile
correct
data.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I would ask is that a lot of times if there are increases in tuition, I'm going to use the pejorative, the kids pay for it. If there's an increase in parking fees, the kids pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so any of the resolutions of things that cost more money, it's not 100%, but they get a chance to participate in the agreement, but not a voice in the agreement.
Yeah.
So I just was kind of curious if there was a sensitivity to that or questioning about how come and why and where the fees are going to come from and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there's a lot in your question. They do have a voice. I mean, the Board of Trustees for the California State University does have student trustees on it. And so they have a couple of student trustees that get to participate and vote.
It's just like a 10-2 vote consistently.
People do, I will say, and having worked at another institution that had boards that had student trustees, I mean, people listen to the students. I will say that. So they do have a voice, for sure. I will also say that for tuition increases, you know, the CSU did pass a multi-year tuition increase. Was it in the fall? Yeah, to go into effect next academic year. It's modest. It obviously upset a lot of people because any increase in expenses upsets people.
Well, particularly during an inflationary period.
Absolutely. But I think the thing that and I appreciate that this was pointed out at the board meeting is that and the board itself, but everybody else sort of said, but the CSU hasn't increased tuition in multiple years. I want to say 10, 12 years. It's been a very long time. Over, if you even look at the last 20, 30 years, it's been very infrequent and very modest, and it hasn't kept up with inflation and cost escalation. And unfortunately, public higher education, the costs go up, but the funding and the support doesn't necessarily match that. So then there becomes a larger and larger gap, right? And so how do you fill that gap in, right? So you would increase tuition a bit, and we hadn't been.
Endowments, baby.
Yeah. Well, yes. And we are doing. Yeah.
That one kind of surfaced with that whole Harvard discussion.
Yeah.
You know, how hundreds of billions of dollars they have in an endowment.
Yeah. They're doing
And they keep
well.
Pumping the. Yeah. The tuition, which.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is intriguing. I mean, I don't know.
And to your point, I mean, that is something that we've had a lot of success in doing a capital campaign the last couple of years. It's our first big capital campaign at this university ever. And we've far exceeded our goal, like doubled our goal in the millions and millions raising funds for the institution. So that's a really good and positive thing. But yeah, to your point, I mean, it is tough with respect to tuition increases and the cost to students and those pieces. There are the fees part as well. Student fees, students do have a voice. In fact, any student fee that we pass, anytime we increase, decrease, do anything. In fact, I sit on that committee intentionally, the student fee advisory committee, and it has to be made up of.
You have a student fee advisory committee?
You bet.
I heard the sigh.
SFACSR, 8 a.m. meetings. Oh. But it's more students than it is administrators and staff. And they have to be the majority in any decision that's being made. And we did that, in fact, yesterday. So they do have a voice in that as well. And try to explain and have them be the decision makers in that. So
I'm sure that there's some robust discussion in those meetings.
You'd be surprised. More than you'd think.
Well, because they're passionate about whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's neat that they're engaged.
It is.
And they have the opportunity to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Stand by playback.
I know.
Live. Real radio.
Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Hi, KINS News and Information. Time is 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps. So the labor stuff is now set aside at least for a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's tentative agreements, and so it has to be, you know, officially
ratified
on,
and all that
good,
stuff.
But yeah, I think we're in a good place.
No disruption there.
Yeah.
How are the projects coming along?
Projects.
Boy, that was a deep sigh.
Which project? Well, here, this isn't quite a project, but I would say, looking at our enrollment for next year, right? So there's a lot of strategic work and thinking about recruitment efforts, right, for the next academic year, and a lot of strategic work in that area. And we're feeling... Our application numbers are a little bit down from last year. Last year was historic. Like, we had more applications than we had, like, in the history of the institution by far.
So the conversion rate, by now, application.
Yeah.
Is that number one or number two or number three or number four on the priority list for the kids?
That's actually what I was getting at. And so last year we had this historic, huge application numbers. But the conversion, or what we call yield rate, was not very good. It was very low, which speaks to probably people going, hey, Cal Poly, you're Polytechnic. Oh, that's interesting. Or we're going to apply without really understanding the universe. Like, we had a lot more splash out there and people trying to check us out and
confusion.
Figure out what we were about. Yeah, or just not sure. I think kind of like when a new product comes out and people are like, I'm going to wait a year or two. I'm going to see how it goes for other people, sort of thing. Anyway, this year we have very high applications as well as compared to previous years, but down a little bit from last year, as I said. But our yield rate is looking more positive, looking to be more positive.
Making deposits?
Correct. So yeah. That's part of it. So now we have a deposit requirement.
Non-refundable.
That's a good question. I don't know.
All of a sudden there's a commitment level instead of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And also there's sort of, air quote, sort of active applicants versus non-active applicants. So like last year we had a lot of people that popped an application in and then like you'd reach out to them, you'd engage them, ask them to come for nothing, like you heard nothing, right? And so now the level of people that are engaged, asking questions, wanting to understand about the institution, significantly higher. So it's really pointing toward our yield's going to be higher, which is really good. The single most question, so here's what's interesting.
Where is Humboldt?
So people know good and well, because one of the things that attracts, especially from Southern California, is a lot of students... They want to remain in the state of California, but like get as far away from home as they can.
The distance.
They absolutely do. Yeah.
So it's not the trees.
So
it's not the ocean. It's distance from home.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how often that's a factor. It's a funny thing, but I go to CSU air quote on the radio, but air quote system meetings where I get together with provost from the other campuses and we talk about provosty things, whatever. But it's,
recipes. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, we trade off recipes. We talk about, academic stuff. And anyway, but it's fascinating. Even my colleagues are like, oh, man, so you still have no housing on campus, right? You still have no vacancies at all. And I was like,
where'd you find that out?
From the LA Times.
No, I meant, where did they, the media is misreporting.
So when things got picked
up. But they're laying
up,
people off, so don't worry about it. They won't be around for too much
longer.
So
when people, and I said, well, this year, actually, we have 300 vacant beds in our dorms. And I said, no, we have plenty of vacancies. And they look at me like, what? Well, the word is out, the story is out that you have no vacancies. And as you remember, last year we were really, with all the applications, we were doing contingency planning. Like if we end up with this really high yield of students, we're going to do all these, you know, creative things. Didn't end up needing to, but what it ended up suggesting to people is there's no room at the inn.
That may have been some of the push away.
Absolutely. And we've heard from even high school guidance counselors and things, oh yeah, sorry, last year we basically told some of our students just not to come because they wouldn't have a place to live. And so so really trying to, and I even hear that from prospective parents and families who are considering coming here, like, oh, well, my student really wants to come there, but they're not going to have a place to live. We're like, no, we're good. We're good.
So how are you getting out ahead of the registration? I mean, I have my answer, but I don't think Humboldt would answer quite the same way that I would. How are you getting out in front of that so that in the kitchen table decision point,
mm-hmm.
not in the high schools, but before that even,
yeah,
that these folks know that, you know, it is a potential viable school for you, and mm-hmm. with all the things that you need
right.
for the time that you're going to school.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's about, again, how that team is getting out and on the road and sort of in their recruitment strategy, but also when students are applying to the institution, providing a much earlier timeline with when people are going to get assigned their room and all of those things. We were very late in confirming that a student would have a bed on campus.
So that kind of reinforced
that
impression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So moved up that timeline, giving a lot more transparency. The deposit, as you can imagine, makes a world of sense, right? And so if you have some skin in the game, that's going to be a much more accurate reflection of if somebody's actually going to come. But it also helps guide our planning as well.
Sure, because you've got all the supplies, quote unquote,
yeah.
supplies and all the staffing that you need.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So it's good. So I'm feeling really positive about it. So that maybe that wasn't the project in the sense that you're talking about. There's other projects I can talk about, but that's like one of our number one
goals.
That's
like the wide end of the funnel, though.
That's important. It's super important, yeah.
Nothing else matters if there's nobody there coming through the door.
No, well, it's good stuff.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45, and we're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps. All right, I didn't have my glasses on looking at the clock. So you've got the systems
mm-hmm.
projects,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got the physical projects.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you got the big one with the crane, and everybody's looking at it and going, ooh, la.
Yeah.
Dandy. Is that the only physical project that's going on associated with the school right now?
It's not. Sort of our next big building project is the engineering and technology building. In fact, actually, next week in front of our board of trust, the CSC system has board of trustees meetings. And any time that you do a building project, you have to get that sort of formally approved by the board. We already have
the blessing.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And presented. It's actually going to be a really nice moment because for us, obviously, we already have the resources because we had the investment, but the plans are drawn up. There's been a lot of work.
That's right. You have to go through the state architecture.
Oh, yeah. There's
blah, blah, blah.
I couldn't even begin to tell you all those steps. Good thing that we have an amazing facilities associate vice president, who's
somebody
phenomenal.
Who fills another office that's not yours.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
takes care of that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mike Fisher's incredible, and then the dean of the College of Natural Resources and Sciences, Eric Riggs, who I think you probably met before.
Yeah, he's been
here before. The two of them are co-leading on all of the kind of facilities and infrastructure projects. And anyway, so yeah, the engineering technology building. Once that's approved, the work will begin to start to sort of get that off the ground on campus. And what we're excited about is that's going to be probably our first really on-campus signature academic building for Polytech, right? And so it will...
Well, the only other... I guess there have been a couple of buildings. I mean, if you...
Mm-hmm.
If you knock out the housing-related
yeah,
ones,
yeah.
You got
yeah.
the one on the hill.
Yep. Yep.
And I guess maybe the botany building or whatever that's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. So that'll be awesome. And then, yeah, we have a health.
Is parking associated with that? Is there going to be some parking?
There's going to be
parking. Under the building so that you're not you're okay. smiling. I'm not the only one, apparently, who was asked this question.
Everybody asked about parking. And I'm going to give my yes, absolutely. Parking is considered in every single thing that we built. And here's my snarky comment, and I don't snark very much, but it's funny to me how concerned people are about parking here coming from urban places. So it's the context is just funny to me. I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. All right, but it's all relative when, you know, you have to drive around for an hour in an urban environment to find a parking space, and I'm like, okay.
Is that really what it's like?
Oh, yes. Yes. Or it's just, it's a non-starter. Like, you'll never find it, so you have to figure out something different.
So if I was involved, you know, fear through the entire organization, I get it. But if you can't, if your customers can't get to your front door, it doesn't matter what you have behind the door. Parking has got to be the primary right along with the class offerings. You know, and if it's public transportation... Great, that's parking. If it's surface lots, that's parking. If it's skateboard slots and everybody's taking skateboards,
right.
That's parking.
Okay.
But you got to be able to have your customers get to you.
So I'm glad to hear your expanded definition of parking, because that's what I would say. And certainly in urban environments, often there's more ability for public transportation and those types of offerings. So, that's part of it. I would say we... Not I would say. I know. I mean, we've increased our bus route and stuff to and from campus, part of a partnership with the city of Arcata to have a bus route that takes around to some different spots. We started that. We've always had a bus, you know, that comes to and from campus, but we were intentional in partnering to do some additional stops and expand hours and those types of things that wasn't just for the campus, but was also for the community. And it's been really good. So I think it's both. But yes, we're going to have parking, but I think there's also a commitment to thinking about how can we do more public transportation? How can we, you know, create bike routes and different things?
Well, that's got to be tough for a campus like Humboldt. Where nobody, it's not a commuter campus.
That's true.
So people are driving here from wherever they grew up, and they want to go see the trees, and they want to go out. Okay, they're driving. They're not hitchhiking.
That's
they're not
true.
Taking buses. Yeah. They're not doing the skateboard thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving. Mm-hmm. Well, so I would think a higher percentage of the student body at Humboldt, let's be real, and faculty and staff are driving. No.
Or have access to a car. You mean like bring a car with them to do stuff off campus?
Yeah. So that is going to be their primary mode of transportation. You know, maybe a bike if they are healthy or they enjoy bike riding. But by and large, most people are jumping in their car 15 minutes before class starts, zipping over, trying to find a parking spot and get to class without being dinged for being late.
Mm-hmm. You'd be I mean, yes, I don't disagree
with
you.
Or first class, I guess.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, although I do think that there are some that come here without cars. I think there are a lot of people that bike and walk and skateboard and do all that stuff, too. We have sort of rideshare car things you can, like, kind of check out to do, like, those kind of weekender type of adventures and those types of things. So there's different options. But you're right. I mean, this is a rural community, and so access to real ease of transportation is difficult. So there is definitely a reliance on a car. car,
yeah,
right?
And that's part of our culture.
In a different way, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's a different thing. But yes, parking. Parking. But also, you know, as we look to expand our footprint beyond the hill, right, thinking about having opportunities for education and classrooms and partnerships in Eureka and otherwise, I think there's opportunities that we look for to expand that footprint, just because, you know,
kind of to dilute the impact on campus and spread it out.
Yeah, and to engage. Yeah. I mean, when you're in within Eureka, or you're within different little parts of Humboldt County, then it I think provides students a richer experience, and then allows for more engagement from the community and businesses and those types of things. So that's our goal. That's so we're super excited about that.
Oh, that's a nice way to say we're not putting in more parking.
Huh? Oh, no, no.
No, we're spread it around. Yeah. And well, it's legit. I mean, it's not like you're foofing.
No.
But it makes sense.
But yeah. Also the other thing is, I mean, if you think about the density that exists, like there's not a tremendous, I mean, you can build up to some extent, although there's some politics around that. But it's not like you can build back. There's redwoods.
Right.
It's not like you can build forward. You're going to hit the bay, right? So at some point you have
there's
to figure out.
There's some physical parameters, yeah.
Yeah, that are different than in some places, right? So you have really big natural barriers. And so that's where, and then you have to think about the 101 and how you build out and then in find yourselves in the community. And we already have a good model of that in Trinidad, where we have a marine lab. I mean,
yeah,
that's a really cool.
Yeah.
That's
I wonder who he was.
Huh? Oh, well, story for another
day. Other
than
Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good old Fred. Okay.
Yeah, story for another day, perhaps, but cool stuff happening. So.
All right. Well, nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
All right, let's keep plugging away.
All right.
Everybody enjoy the weekend. See you on Monday.